The Bronx Bombers.
It is high. It is far. It is gone.
The home of Yankees baseball is WFAN.
Yankees win. The Yankees win.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yankees back in action today after the postponements yesterday. I'm surprised nobody wanted to call and talk about the uniform stuff. I mean, I threw it out there earlier, but that was the big news from yesterday, the Mets patch on the uniform. Anyway, Mets and Yankees resume play today. Yankees will be on the road in Baltimore, 3 o'clock. Clark Schmidt on the mound for the Yanks, and Tyler McGill will get the start for the home opener for the Mets, that at 1:10. This afternoon, as they'll open their season at Citi Field after the postponement yesterday. Marco, did you see the patch on the Mets uniform?
I glanced at it. What was it for again?
I'm not sure. New York Presbyterian.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah.
But regardless, it's not about what it's for.
Yeah.
You have to actually see this thing, because when it was showed to me,
it seemed pretty big on the shoulder from the picture that I glanced at.
That's the problem. Like, I hate the idea that we are where we are with the uniform stuff. It's just part of it. Remember growing up, like the Mets, I know specifically used to have the flags of each team on the outfield walls. Like in the 80s,
right.
That was a thing. It was around baseball.
Yeah, like you the had pennants and all that. Yeah,
right. And that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool to go to the ballpark and see that. Then, of course, it turns into sponsorships. All right, whatever. I get it. Minor league type stuff, but it happens. And now you get the Knicks and the NBA doing the jersey sponsorship, so you figure that's going to come over to all the other sports, and here we are. All right, fine. But then you look at the actual size of this thing. That's the issue that I have, is that why would it be so damn big? I don't get it. Like a third of the size. And now, of course, I can't find the damn thing. Just Google it, will you, Marco?
On this computer, take me to next week.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know.
Your phone, a better chance of finding it. I don't have my phone on me.
Mets patch. Let's see. Type it in here. Just bear with me as I try to fill. I'm trying to show Marco the actual size of this thing.
I guess I glanced. I saw it, but I didn't really pay that much attention to it.
You can't miss it. Oh, here it is. Right here. Found it, finally. Look at the size of that. I'm showing Marco my phone right now.
All right, that's an eyesore. All right, I didn't realize it was as big as it was. Yeah, that's...
Dude, it's like...
That's enormous. That's basically the entire sleeve.
I'm not trying to pick on,
on
the Mets,
no.
And I understand the sponsorship. Like,
right.
It just we have to accept it. But that's the whole sleeve.
Now, if you're looking at this picture, if you've seen this, and so I'll say it to you, like, it feels like the box is enormous. Like, we could cut it on the top and at the bottom. You could still have the same thing.
You wouldn't know the difference.
Right. I feel like we can make it less of an eyesore. Our problem is it's not going to stand out as much. And maybe that's what they want. But look at all that space on the top and the bottom. Doesn't it feel like you can...
The patch dominates the jersey.
If you haven't seen it, almost think about, you know, like the NCAA logo. It's at the bottom and there's all that blue at the top because they like to do it off center. If you chopped off all the blue, you'd make it a lot smaller, right? And it wouldn't look like a basketball, which is the point of that one. To me, though, you can chop off the top and the bottom of this. You can still have the rectangular...
It's the same exact thing. Just make it a third of the size.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
That almost feels like they're doing it on purpose to make sure that you see it. Make it stick out as poorly as possible to make sure that you're looking at it.
Then why not just replace the player's name on the back of the jersey and have the whole thing go across it? Like, we all know who the players are at this point. There's no need to have Alonzo's name on the back of the jersey. Just put the huge patch back there then. I mean, where does it stop?
You could. I would say
put it underneath the number. There are international jerseys that do that, so don't give them any ideas.
Yeah, I would do it underneath the number. Because if you're going to do that, go like the international way. Don't they have like another name that goes across on the bottom?
God, what are we coming to? I don't want to be morbid here, but my father used to tell me, well, I'm going to get morbid, as simple as that. Because, you know, like, you're afraid of dying and all that stuff. And I would always, you know, when I was younger, I don't know even how this talk came up. But he'd be like, don't worry about it. There's nothing to be afraid of. One day, you'll get to a point where the people you love are not here anymore. The things you were used to aren't the same anymore. And he was exactly right. And even at 43, I know kind of what he's saying. Not that the patch on a jersey is going to...
Say, we took a turn here, Sal. Yeah,
but it's true.
From a guy who's hollow on the inside, I feel like we're taking a turn here, Sal.
I was just thinking that none of those people are the ones who called WFAN.
Right. I mean...
We used to be a proper society, people.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, nothing's the same anymore. Forget the sport changing. We complain about it. You know, the patches on these uniforms. Like, the way that we used to enjoy things... Because I'm trying to envision what it's going to be like in another 10 years from now, or 15 years. It's going to be even
separate
worse. Separate. Right?
Separate. Honest. Look, this was something that I fought for a long time. Here's where you got to, like, succumb. And maybe this is probably bad coming from a guy that is... hollow on the inside. You've got to separate all that stuff that you felt like you're holding on to and just move along with everything as it changes. Don't fight it.
But I hate the patch on the jerseys.
Sal, I hate it too. But really.
The Knicks have it.
It's either you're going to watch and enjoy the parts that you like, or you're going to stop watching.
All right.
Don't be the grump where you're back in my day where every time a game comes on.
I know, but the
because you're
the
fighting
story-
something that you can't.
Put it this way. The moral of the story is, when it's my time, I think I'll be ready.
I'm ready now.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm ready.
I'm good.
Really?
I'm good, yeah.
You got a baby on the way. Are you insane?
I'm good.
What do you do again? When's your wife do?
May 28th.
Woo, man.
What, you want me to stick around for that? Is that basically what you're saying?
Oh, man.
You going to give me another month and a half?
Oh, right. No, I'm saying your life is essentially over anyway. So
for a long time. Yeah, right. I've been good for a while.
Oh, man. Things are going to change. Yeah, I just, you know, not that I'm ready to go now, but I think I understand what he meant. And imagine if you feel this way at 43, imagine in 20 years or 30 years when it's just like, you won't even know anything anymore, you know?
Well, you keep saying, you know, turn for the worse. I'm not going to be here in 30 years. Who's kidding? You're lucky I get 3 weeks. You think I'm getting 30 years? Come on now.
That's a good point. I don't know. Is it? I guess it's not that big of a deal, these jersey patches. Does it bother you, Fleegs? And you'll be able to see it from where you're sitting tomorrow.
Well, it's the size that bothers me. Like, to your point, you mentioned the Knicks one earlier. I hated it when they first did it.
Now you don't see it.
I don't even notice it. I think this Mets, just this specific one, I don't know if it'll be this way on all of the baseball team's uniforms, but just that picture they put out yesterday made it seem like this patch is larger than any patch we've ever seen on a baseball jersey before.
It's huge.
Is bigger than the World Series patches. That's the problem. It's egregious.
But the patch is dominating the jersey.
It's a regular square. Maybe it's because it's white on white. I don't know what it is, but just from what we saw yesterday and what Marco just saw a couple minutes ago, this one just looks way too big.
It can't happen.
And like you said, there's so much empty space that's not the logo.
Right.
If you just cut a little bit of that out, I don't think we'd care. Like,
I don't think it
doesn't look that bad.
You're right. But again, I think the reason why they didn't do that is because they want you to see it. They want it to dominate. That's the whole point of putting the patch on there, is for you to be able to see it so that it is egregious, so that it is in your face. Because we don't notice
the
other stuff.
Lefty's bat, because it's on
the other side. Right. So for a righty, you're going to see it front and center. Although, what if they, well, I guess they're not going to switch sides, right? It's going to be on that number one, the first side there.
You know what it kind of looks like?
Every time Pete Alonso hits a home run, that's going to be what our eyes look at.
What in the natural, didn't they have like a big giant patch on the sleeve with like the lightning bolt?
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
But isn't that their logo?
I don't know, but if that's what it looks like, where it takes up the whole sleeve, where it's a big giant square patch where you got like, you know, hey, you know, Margaret, can you sew this thing on? Like, that's what it felt like. It was,
you know, and I get the sponsorship aspect of it, making money, but do you really need to, at that point when you're, you know, diminishing something so special, the jersey. Like, is it really worth the money? You know, where, I guess
also,
my question is, where do we draw the line? Like, what if you walk into Citi Field later on today, and there's a huge square in the middle of the diamond, like taking up from the pitcher's mound to center field that says New York Presbyterian? Like, who's to stop that?
We're getting there, Sal.
You know, like the tarp, how the tarps have it?
Oh, yeah.
But just on the field, like painted on the
field. Or like right when you walk in, where it says Citi Field. Like at the rotunda, they'll have an ad right below that.
Yeah. Or on the bases, you could have big squares on the bases or in the infield. You know, spray the infield with something.
Wait until there's one on the apple.
Or whatever. Yeah, right. The apple pops up and there's, you know, Dunkin' Donuts.
Or even where the outfielders stand, put a little circle for everybody.
That's what, so like the point is, you can do this
endlessly. The bases can all be sponsored.
Yeah, we're getting there. I don't think this is, we're not talking at a turn here. I think we're headed down that road. Just a question of when, and they're trying to slowly introduce this to you
by
giving you egregious giant patches.
By the way, you have any sponsors you need to get in here? This segment is brought to you by?
Brought to you by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Yeah, now back to what we're talking about. I mean, these sponsors
we're on
are
WFAN,
everywhere.
WFAN, FM, HD, New York.
Thank you. Yeah, they're everywhere, the sponsorship on the field. You can't get out of it.
It's ridiculous. It really is. It's egregious. It's over the top.
I get it. But you can't, you know, you can't avoid it now.
We're not going backwards. We're not going back. That's the thing. Like, you're not going back. Fight
You ever watch Lost? We have to go back.
Can't go
Either
back.
Of you ever see Lost?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, we have to go back. God, that was a great show.
That was one of the all-time great television twists.
The first three seasons of Lost, I will put up against any TV.
I don't remember it real well.
Really?
I didn't catch it in the beginning.
Did you watch the whole thing or no?
I want to say yes because I remember how it ended, but I feel like I caught up after a couple seasons in, and I kind of got tired of it.
Yeah.
And by the time it was over, it was kind of like good.
Did you watch the whole thing, Fleece?
Oh, yeah.
And what'd you think?
It should have been what I think the creatives behind it originally wanted to do, four seasons, because it was so successful. ABC in the studio made them stretch it out.
They did six, right?
And it should have been four.
Because
like you
six?
Said, the first three are close to perfect.
Yo, exactly.
I remember liking the beginning, and I remember getting sick of it. So maybe that's why, because
I
caught
up. And
have
to go back. That's the end of season three. You have that with Jack and Kate. You have Charlie and the boat.
Gives me goosebumps.
Incredible.
There has never been, like, I love The Sopranos. If you said, Sal, you're going to die, and you only have one show to watch for the rest of your life, you know, in the next coming weeks here, probably Sopranos would be the show that I would choose. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe Seinfeld. Whatever. But Lost, I don't think I've ever been
Were you
impacted.
A 24 fan? Because these were shows that were running at the same time.
I did
where
not
you had
watch
these
24.
Incredible drama and cliffhangers, like back-to-back days every week.
Now, I didn't watch 24, but the same thing for Lost. Is that something that's rewatchable, though?
Yes.
I'm going to try to go back. I want to make my wife watch
both. From someone who's done it, they both are.
I've rewatched it, but not in years.
Okay. And
what do you mean?
You said no, because Sopranos, you could put on today, tomorrow, 6 years ago. It doesn't matter.
Plays,
it plays
saying.
Constantly.
No, this.
I mean,
well,
I guess
Sopranos,
some of it,
Sopranos is different because that might be easier to just put on one episode
right.
and watch it and kind of be more standalone. If you're going to go rewatch some of these other shows like Lost or like 24, you're going to want to do at least a whole season, if not, you know, a couple
all right,
episodes.
So that's tough. Then I got to reinvest
right.
a whole bunch of time
you,
into it.
Minimum, it's a bigger time commitment.
Minimum three seasons. You have to go one through three. Like, if I'm going back, and I really do want to do it because I've never been, even just talking about it gives me, like, I feel it. Like, I was invested in that show.
I at least want to go, like, on YouTube later and, like, you know, top 20 Lost moments, and then, boom, just spend an hour watching that.
Dude, I was, like, emotionally into that show unlike anything I've ever experienced. And I love The Sopranos and love other TV stuff. That one got me.
I'm remembering Man. That feeling in, like, my stomach with, like, Charlie and the boat and Desmond at the end of season three. Like,
goosebumps, dude. Or in season two, the plane flying over and landing. Or you see the others. Oh, my God.
I got to tell
the
you.
The moment when they get on the ramp at the end of season one.
I got to go back and
did
watch.
Did you see it?
I did. I watched it. I liked it. I remember at the end, I didn't really care for it. I didn't like the way it ended. And I remember getting a little bored of it. So I guess maybe I was watching too many at the same time or I was catching up. But now I feel like I got to go back and watch it.
I'm telling you guys, go back
Heart,
and watch that and make the time commitment. Go watch 24 for the first time. It'll blow
but
you
But how
away.
Long is that, 24? Like, how many seasons are we into?
Eight, and then there's like a half a season.
Because I've heard that was great. I don't know if I could invest all that time in going to see it.
That might be the show that, because it started before Lost, that really set off just like that current age of TV with the
nonstop. It, like,
and,
I need
and
to.
Right, the cliffhanger that just makes you say, I can't believe I have to wait another 7 days for the next episode.
So, again, and
the binge shows that were then on DVDs.
Binge,
at the
right,
time,
exactly.
Like, those were two of the shows that really started what we live in now, where I'm just going to binge a whole show.
Now, I realize I'm 20 years late to this. 24, obviously, it's 24 hours. Is it every episode?
Every episode
so
is 1 hour.
So it's 24 episodes into the season?
Yep.
24 episodes in a season?
Yeah.
And each
whatever,
1 hour
whatever
long?
Time, you know, the first
and
season starts
hour
at midnight,
the day?
And then the last episode ends at midnight.
All right.
And the whole show takes place in real time.
So it's 24 hours of his day. Is there just an episode where he's just eating Chinese food? And
I don't know if I get that. So, wait, the whole season is only 24 hours?
Yeah.
And it's one day?
Well, each season is a day.
That's it? How much? I almost just cursed. How much stuff can happen in a day?
I get the premise, but that's why I said, I was like, is there an episode where he's just eating Chinese food and like kind
of
hanging out?
No, like, and that's part of one of the jokes that over the course of all, like, you know, they never show him like taking a bathroom break or anything like that. Because people are like, oh, well, obviously he does it. And yeah, of course. But nobody, that's not compelling television.
Real quick, do we need to get an update in, or we could just talk about this? Okay, forget the update for now. We'll get back to that.
Who played yesterday? Nobody?
Exactly. The update is there are no games.
The Islanders are still tied for the wild card. The Devils are a point from the top of the division. There you go.
Well, we just did that last segment anyway.
Right. The update, the Mets have a huge patch on their jersey, which led us somehow to 24.
And again, brought to you by Superbook Sports. Visit Superbook.com.
Don't forget to get the sponsor, and of course, love Superbook. And Marco, if you had a rank, like, what's your top three shows all time? Are you putting Breaking Bad in there? Have you seen that?
That I didn't see. That I gotta go back.
That's another incredible one.
I need to
see. I don't.
Breaking Bad's on my list. I haven't seen that. And I need to watch the whole thing.
I liked it a lot. I don't think I put it on Lost level. And I don't know if it makes my top three. And I know everybody loves it. Would you put that in your top three, Fleeks?
My gut says no. Like, Breaking Bad had like some incredibly high highs. There were also some stretches where you had a couple episodes in a row where, all right, let's go.
What's the cop's name, Walter's brother-in-law?
Hank.
Hank Schrader. When Hank's on the bowl, reading
incredible.
Dude.
That was the season finale.
So, oh, my God. I was like, what? Where it hits him, where he finds. I would recommend watching it.
That I need to see, but I need to take the time. I need to binge that. And that's hard because that's, what, like 6-7 seasons? Easy?
Yeah. But it's also overrated. Just so you know, it's very good.
I want to see that.
It's still great, though. I might agree with you at times where people overrate it. Like, it's not Sopranos level good, but it has some incredible moments.
So what are we looking at here?
It's still a great show.
To me, is the top.
Now, you think that's because we're Italian?
In terms of excitement, I'm putting 24 there. You guys haven't seen it. That was the show. Like, I was a teenager when it came out. Like, that was a show where, like, my friends and I would talk about that at lunch at school. Like, we just could not wait for the next episode.
You put Sopranos, Fleeks, in your top three?
If we're talking best shows, yeah. And then, like, if we're talking best, like The Wire's up there.
Forget about best. Like, the show that you enjoyed the most. Like, what are we breaking it down? Like, oh, yeah, the director's cut was beautiful. I have to put
this in. Well, that's the thing. Is it all, like, drama?
Right, am I including comedies here?
Shows that impacted you to a point where you, like, I love Seinfeld. I don't know if I would put, it might be top three all time.
Impacted me is a good way to do it. I can do that. 24 is one. The Office is probably going to be number two. And I might even put another comedy there, three. I'd put something like Parks and Rec or Community.
Marco?
Again, Sopranos is at the top.
Right.
When I was a kid, I was a Simpson guy. I know they're still on, but I haven't watched them in years. But that was like a 20-year chunk. I used to tape them on VHS.
Right, from the Tracy Ullman show?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the other one, I was never into some of the dramas. I didn't really catch them as they went. So to me, it's like impact of The Sopranos. Every Sunday, you had to find a way.
Right.
Whether you were taping it or you were whatever, you had to find a way to watch the episode.
See, I was too young when Sopranos first aired, so I watched it later. So I don't know if I would say it had that impact on me.
And
like,
the only other one that impacted me was Seinfeld. Like, I remember you had to find a way Thursday night to catch Seinfeld. I remember with the final, I was in college. We were at a meet at like a... some for the final thing was in May. It was like, you know, towards the end of the semester, we're going to meet, we're going to have a burger, we're going to have a beer. I was like, do I have to be there? Yeah, your grades. I was there for 30 seconds. I was like, I got to go Seinfeld finale tonight. Like, what are we doing? So that's like impact of life. Sopranos at the top.
I'm surprised the people that were around you, like that Seinfeld finale was a huge national event.
Yeah, right.
What were they doing?
What can I tell you? It was a weird psychology class. That was a night class in college in 97. But I was like, you people are nuts. I'm getting the hell out of here.
I think I would go Sopranos, no particular order, but Sopranos, Seinfeld, first three seasons of Lost. I'm not giving the whole show credit, but the first three, those would be the things that I enjoyed the most. Now, there are some great shows. I love The Wire. I did enjoy Breaking Bad. There's some new ones that are great. I mean, I love a lot of shows, but those are, man, I definitely want to go back and watch Lost. We have to go back. So great. All right. Are we done here?
I mean, it's your show.
877-337-60. Should I break here, Fleeks, or what are we doing? I'm not going to take a call about the NHL playoff format.
We're kind of in the middle of no man's land.
Oh, God. All right, I guess I'll take the call. 877-337.
I mean, you can. There's got to be something else we can ask Marco about before we lose him for the day.
Oh, why are you leaving?
Oh, no, wait.
No, you know something I don't?
Yeah, no, you're going to be here four, right?
Yeah, I'll be here four. I was going to say, you know something I don't?
I got a little ahead of myself. I'm ready to go to Citi Field.
Yeah, no, listen, that's right.
You're going to bounce me out at 3:15 in the morning? I mean, geez, can you get through the week?
No, we're not bouncing out of here. We're ready for you at four.
How about this? This is uniform patch. If you were any business that wouldn't want to associate yourself with the New York Mets, wouldn't it be like a medical thing like that?
I'm not getting into the sponsorship stuff, please. Come on. I learned the hard way. Yesterday, by the way, because I did the show from home, did you tape the 4 o'clock update?
I did not. No, I was here.
You were here live?
Yeah, I was here.
You heard the caller talking to you, Val? It was Kevin. You didn't respond.
Well, I didn't know if I was supposed to jump in on
that. Yes, if the caller says, so I was at home, I didn't realize. He goes, is Marco there? I go, yeah, he's right here. And he said
something.
Then
you kept talking, and then Kevin kept talking.
There was a little window there, and I'm like, oh, what did he leave? Did he put the 4 o'clock on tape?
I remember this. Marco's right. The window was very short.
Yeah, I mean,
because Kevin started talking again kind of right after.
Right.
I'm going to cut off the
caller? Tried to give him a window. Kevin filled it.
You could have said, is Marco there? You could have maybe jumped in and said.
I was starting to, but you answered. Kevin started to go, and then the moment passed, and, you know.
Because I remember looking, I can't always see Marco behind the computer screen. I had to move myself to make sure he was in there, and he was.
Okay, that's fair enough. I just was like wondering, you know, he was shouting you out.
And I do appreciate the compliment, too, but yeah. I mean, what are we going to chase compliments? I mean, you know.
Why not? It feels good, doesn't it?
It's rare. Huh?
Yeah.
I guess, you know what? I probably should have, because that was it.
When was the last time you got a compliment?
Yeah, no, that was it, yeah.
Nick, you get a compliment, you take it. I mean, come on. Look at you. You're not in a position to be giving compliments back.
No, that's very true, yeah.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets, for the first time in 15 years, are champions of the National League.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Paul Salicata on The Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Danny is in Ozone Park. Danny, what do you think of the NHL playoff format?
I hate it. I can't stand it. And there was something special about watching that 1-8 matchup all the time. You know what I mean? And I get it that there is an 8 seed, but they refer to him as the second wild card. And it's just not the same. It's just not the same.
It should be 1-8. It's pretty simple.
1-8.
And if you want to separate, like Fleegs was saying, have the number 2 seed or whatever, the top 2 seeds be each division winner as opposed to just standard 1-8.
Yeah, that's a great idea, too.
Right, that's fine. So you have the 2 division winners, 1 and 2, and then everything else follows suit with, you know, 3-8. It's not that hard.
You know what? It's almost like when 1010 wins move to the FM dial. Well, I almost feel like the news just isn't as important right now. Listen to an FM.
That I don't know about.
AM.
Yeah.
You got to put it on. It's on 92.31. It just doesn't sound the same.
Well,
it
took a while for me to get used to 101.9. I mean, forever,
right.
you're listening to The Fan on 660, which, by the way, I still do sometimes, out of habit.
And it sounds nice on the AM dial sometimes. Real quick on your TV show, I just felt like I was sitting there hanging out with my friends listening to all you talk. I watched Breaking Bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I definitely thought it was a little very great show, though. But I don't know if you watched Better Call Saul.
Yes. I actually liked it better.
I thought that was better.
Agreed.
Yes, I liked it better.
I agree, Danny. I think that show was better. Now, I get why Breaking Bad was great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking it, but it is highly overrated. And I enjoyed Better Call Saul better. I'm with you.
And you know what? I think, of course, when I watch Breaking Bad, when you binge watch a show like that, and it's just so much craziness, like, right after one another. And I guess when you watch it first run, you have that week in between to kind of separate the craziness. So, you know, you binge watch it 2, 3, 4 episodes around, you're like, what? You know, how could this keep happening?
Correct.
You know, like, all that.
Correct. Like, so Jesse, spoiler alert, Jesse should have died a billion times over. And the fact that he didn't, it got so wild and out of control by the end. And thank you for the call, Danny. Appreciate you checking in. It got so wild and out of control. It was just so unbelievable to me. And that was kind of a turnoff. Again, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I do think that watching a show one episode a week is different. You take it in differently than if you stream it nonstop. If you go on one after another, binge watch it. I mean, Binging is different than the once a week. And a lot of those shows, I don't even know how people waited. Like Breaking Bad, I binged until probably the fourth. How many seasons were there? Six in Breaking Bad? I probably binged watch it until probably through the first three, I guess, and then caught up live. And then it was hard to take. You know what other show I loved? Mad Men. You ever watch that one, Fleeks?
No, and that one is hard to find on streaming, so I don't know if I ever would be able to.
Interesting. I watched that original. Oh, no, not originally. I went back and binged and then caught up again until whatever, like season four or five. Love that show. And then I went back with my wife and we watched it together. Because she never saw it before. Good show. Actually, great show. I enjoyed that.
Sometimes it is the thinking about a show, whether just yourself or like talking about it with other people who are watching it, having that week to week, it totally changes the experience of how a show resonates with you.
There are so many, and there are so many great shows. Stuff I forget, like Homeland. Another one. That was a great show. There's so many of these great shows in recent years. And now with all these streaming services, there's a billion shows on that I love and forgotten about and all that. But when you talk about the top tier stuff, I don't think as much as I love The Sopranos and love Seinfeld, and probably nothing will ever knock those off the top two, I don't think I've ever been impacted emotionally the way that I was with Lost. And prior to that, I really didn't watch much other than comedies. So I was put onto that show, and I was like, eh, I don't care about all the fuss. Like, I'm not into this. And it's like, come on, watch the show. And I watched one episode. Next thing you know, like 5 hours later, what? Do you believe this? What's going on? It's just one like jaw dropping moment after another. What a phenomenal show! Guess what? I just figured out what I'm doing post Met game Saturday night, honey. I got the perfect plan.
Your wife seen Lost?
She claims that she couldn't get into it. And I'm just like, well, that doesn't compute.
Not if you start at the beginning. Yeah, there's no way.
Like, you must have been doing something where you weren't paying attention. Maybe you watched it at the wrong time. You were in a cranky mood. You were with the wrong guy. Like, whatever.
Or if somebody tried to drop her in the middle of the show. Like, yeah, that's like, a show you have to start with the pilot.
Right out of the gate. I defy anybody to sit there and watch Lost, the first episode of Lost, and tell me you do not want more. It's impossible. It's like no one could eat just one chip. No one could watch just one episode of Lost. There's no way. Put the phone down. By the way, that was probably even before like smartphones, right?
It definitely was.
Because I don't even
at least the earlier seasons.
See, there are shows now that you watch that are like filler. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I'll watch the show. Like, we're watching Severance right now on Apple TV. It's okay. You watch it, right, Fleeks?
That was when that for me the phone was put down. I don't know how you can. You lose the plot in that show if you're not paying attention.
Three and a half episodes in, it finally started to pick up for me. But like a lot of times, I'll catch myself in the beginning. I'm like, checking the phone and whatever. But there were certain shows where you could watch the phone and have the shows on in the background. Now, Lost. No chance. Like, you're locked into that. But I seriously defy anybody to watch that pilot episode and tell me you do not want more. So that's what I'm going to do Saturday night. Take my wife. This is how selfless I am and what a great husband I am. I am going to take my wife to watch Kodai Senga's home debut. Second game of the season at Citi Field. She doesn't have to pay for a thing. I got the ticket. I got the parking. I'll even take care of the food. Hopefully Roger at Citi Field can hook us up. You know what I mean? But I'll whatever the bill is, I got it. And then, because this is what a great husband I am, then I'm going to take my wife home. We'll go home together, and we will watch Lost. I'll make some popcorn, and we'll throw on the first episode of Lost. Where is it even streaming right now? Is it even available?
I'll find out for you. I'm also still mystified about how this is your wife, and you're talking about picking up the bill like it's this it's this big chivalrous thing.
Because I'm generous. I like to treat Fleeks. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just, this is something that should just go unspoken. Right. Like, yes.
Well, I mean, certain things are unspoken. Certain things I like to speak about. I treat my wife right. I take care of the bills. Pat is calling from the Bronx. Good morning, Pat.
Sal, you're a gentleman, and all of you there are really handsome devils and great guys.
Well, thank you, Pat. We appreciate that.
Just throwing out the compliments because I know you don't get enough.
We'll take it.
Now, I was looking at the baseball schedule just out of curiosity. Let's assume the Mets, Braves, and Phillies are kind of neck and neck coming down the line. Do the schedule makers have it out for us that we have seven games against the Phillies and the Braves have seven games against the Nationals in late September?
Nah, I don't think the schedule makers thought too much of it, honestly.
Really? Because, you know, it seems to me that the baseball is starting to turn into the way that basketball used to be, which is the Astros, Yankees, Braves, and Dodgers are always going to win their divisions.
Well, I mean, that's not Major League Baseball's fault. That's the other team's fault. They can't do enough to go out there and knock them off. I mean, the fact that the Braves are already rolling here and look unbeatable to start the year, it's infuriating, quite honestly.
It is indeed, and the Phillies, you know, are nothing to sneeze at. I know they started off badly, but they've added Trey Turner. What did we add? What did we add? We subtracted DeGrom and put Verlander in. Did we add anything? Tell me.
They swapped. The Mets didn't add, they swapped. I mean, they added Brooks Raley and David Robertson, but they lost Edwin Diaz, so even that didn't work out. The Mets didn't add this offseason, they swapped. They swapped some parts.
Well, you know, this is not a swap meet, Sal. You know, I think it's going to be before the trading deadline that Cohen gets impatient and starts prodding Epler to make a serious deal for a hitter.
Yeah, well, I mean, they need more than that, unfortunately. And look, it's been seven games, Pat. So I mean, we all need to just relax a little bit and let this thing play out here. But this is an important weekend, as I said to start the show while you were sleeping, that this is an important weekend here for the Mets, because coming off of a sweep, something they didn't experience last year until September, coming off of the way that they got swept, with the pitching being bad, with the offense being bad, the bullpen was a little bit of everything, they need to settle in here and minimum win 2 of 3. Otherwise, it may get ugly real quick for this team, start to snowball in the wrong direction.
Do you think perhaps some of these Braves youngsters, and my friend tells me they have even younger, better players on the bench, which really scares me, but do you think some of these youngsters will get some tape on now that they've been playing a year and will start to learn how to pitch to them? Could that be the problem with the Mets, is that they have veteran hitters who there's plenty of tape on that you know how to get them out?
Nah, I don't think that that's the problem. And thank you for the call, Pat. I don't think that's it at all. Matter of fact, Lindor and Alonso, clearly veteran offensive players, and they've been consistent and, you know, just started to, in the final game in Milwaukee, even though the Mets lost, started to come out of their slumps in a big way. Those guys will produce. Look, the Mets offense will do close to what it was expected to do. Now, I don't think it was expected to do enough, but it will get there eventually. Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso. Throw in McNeil, who knows now with Alvarez being in there. But I think they will score enough runs. I'm very concerned about the pitching. Tyler McGill, David Peterson, they're already 6 and 7 deep. No Quintana, no Verlander. So you're into your 6th and 7th best starters already to start the year. Not to mention Carlos Carrasco. Looks like he may not be able to get any outs anymore. Uh-oh, that's a problem. That leaves Max Scherzer and Kodai Senga. Max Scherzer got tattooed in his second start of the season, coming off of disappointing close to last year. There's got to be concern there with the aging superstar. And with Senga, there's just question marks. We don't know. He was good in his first start, but we have no idea what he's going to be. Stuart is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Morning, Sal.
Hi, Stuart.
How are you today?
Good. How are you, Stu?
Remember last year when you said the National League East is over?
I don't recall. I said that?
Yes, you did, on May 31st.
Are you sure about that? Do you have the tape? I don't remember ever saying that.
I have no tape.
I know, that wasn't me. Are you sure that wasn't Carton? I think you're mixing up the bald guys here. I think Craigie said that, not me.
No, it was you. Craigie would never say that.
Yeah, you're right. He's too smart
crazy,
for that.
But not that crazy.
Mm. Right.
Craigie's crazy. I watch him on the other station, and he is off the charts, man. The guy is there off the wall, but he is so funny. He makes me laugh for 2.5 hours every day. Oh, my
God. Why don't you call him? We talk about this all the time. Why don't you call Craig during his show with Evan and tell him you love him? What's that, Stuart?
It's hard to get through to him.
Oh, well, that is true. Don't remind me. I know you see, when you say that, you hurt me a little bit, because, like, well, Sal, I could call you anytime because you're on the overnight.
I can't call you anytime. time. There are days where it's hard to get through. I have to try for a half hour.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, it is.
What about today? Was today difficult?
No. Today was pretty easy because there were no games last night.
And what about yesterday?
Yesterday, they said, oh, we're going to get rain. I'm waiting for the rain. No rain. And then they look stupid for postponing both games.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that was ridiculous.
It was a beautiful day out.
Oh, yeah, it was. And, you know, look, let's say this much. The Mets need some, they not only need a bat or two, another power bat, but they need some pitching. The Yankees need pitching, too. I mean, we're waiting for Rodon and Seve. Seve's coming back sooner.
Is it Rodon or Rodon?
Rodon.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
Okay, it's Rodon?
Yes.
Okay, that's where we're going with, Rodon. Because I've heard both. People told me Rodon, and then it's Rodon.
Oh, it's Rodon.
Okay, Rodon.
And I'm waiting for him to come back, and they say he's going to come back in early May, like first week of May, which I'm waiting for. We need pitching. We need help.
Right.
I mean, Herman, he could be on, he could be off. Ever since he had the problem with the, whatever that was, the supposed domestic violence thing,
right.
He hasn't been the same guy. It's like something happened.
Yeah.
But I'm not concerned with it. The hitting is there. DJ LeMay, who is finally looking like
let me ask you one question I would have or concern about the Yanks right now would be Volpe. You worried about him, the young superstar, getting off to a slow start?
No, not really. He'll come through. He just had to get
bless you.
Over some jittery nerves. I'm fine.
Oh, what's going on there?
I'm all right.
What'd you eat this morning, Rudy? What are you choking over?
What's that?
What are you choking on? What's going on over there?
Eating breakfast. I'm going to the gym. It's 4:30.
What'd you have for breakfast? A little waffle?
No.
Oatmeal?
Don't understand healthy eating.
Oh, I know. You had bacon. A couple of bacon slices, right?
Yes. I had some Kellogg's protein.
Oh. Well, drink some water. Drink some water with it. I hear you choking. You worry me a little bit.
I had a banana.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Hey, so, do you know that this is the last overnight I'm doing for a while here?
When is the next overnight you're doing?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. There's not one scheduled.
What do you mean that you have the schedule?
Well, next week I'm not on the overnights, and then I may be filling in for Keith while he goes on paternity leave. So I'm just letting you know. I know how much you count on this, you know, making the call in the 3 a.m. hour. I'm not going
to
be here.
I call no matter what, but I still would rather speak to you.
Well, so why don't you just call me when I'm on in the evenings?
I don't. That's my bedtime.
What time do you go to bed again?
In between 8 and 9.
Wow, so you're not going to be able to listen to me at all.
So,
yeah.
Understand one thing. When you get up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, you do have to get some beauty sleep, right?
Yeah, but Stuart, come on, you go to bed.
I have to look.
What time do you sleep? 8 or 9 till what, 3? You wake up at 3?
Yeah, sometimes 2:30.
So 8 till 2:30? 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. Yeah, you're getting good sleep, 6 hours at least. More than I get.
Well, yeah, you have a much busier schedule than what I do.
Oh, no. My schedule is not difficult at all. As a matter of fact, I'm enjoying it. I think it's quite, it's become quite easy. I've gotten a nice routine.
In my 40s, I was working 80 to 100 hours a week in 5 days.
What's your favorite TV show?
I had a crazy schedule. What?
What's your favorite TV show? Taxi?
No.
You know, because you were a former cab driver. Get it?
I have 3 TV shows.
Go ahead. Hit me with it.
Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Is that the one with Debbie in it?
Who?
Debbie? What show did you say?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, no, the first one, what'd you say?
Dallas.
Yeah, with Debbie in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was with Larry Hagman.
Okay.
And Patrick Duffy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dallas, that one.
Dallas.
Oh,
Dallas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that one I remember. Yeah, Dallas. Okay.
Dallas. Dukes has it, and the original
90210. Oh, look at you, Stuart, 90210. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I like Jason Priestley.
Yeah, no.
And I absolutely, I'm very sad that Luke Perry passed away.
Oh, me too. It was the terrible news to find out about Dylan.
I mean, 52 years old? Come on.
Yeah, that's too young.
But where'd that go?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, okay, but other shows I like was Knight Rider.
Well, me too. No, we don't. I just wanted your top three. That's good. I think we're
good. Well, the A-Team also.
Don't miss me too much, all right?
Of course not.
We have to
miss you, yeah, but do you want to know what? You got to get back.
Try to give me a call on evenings. Maybe you alter your sleep pattern or something. Or at least listen. You don't have to call. Just listen. It makes me. It comforts me to know.
Next week, who you on? You're not there at all next week?
I am. I'm on 10 a.m. Monday, and then the rest of the week I'm on after the Yankees.
Oh, you mean like...
Like 10 or 11 to 2, something like that.
Are you taking TK and Brandon's place?
I'm filling in for BT on Monday.
BT?
Yeah.
After the Yankee game, isn't that... Well, you're kidding me. You're not filling in for Craigie and Evan?
No. I'm filling in for Keith after the Yankee game, the night Yankee
game. Oh, you mean... Okay. Yeah.
Right. Don't worry, Craigie's not going anywhere, and thank you for the call, story, at least not yet. I don't know if you read the Post or not, but don't worry, Stuart. I'll be in for Keith, not for Craig and Evan. They'll be here. Steven is calling from Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Steven?
Hey, not much, Sal. How you doing, man? I have a couple bones to pick with this jersey here.
Okay.
This patch is absolutely horrendous. It is the size of the sleeve. It's embarrassing. And for an owner like Cohen, who's got all the money in the world, he needs to have sponsorships on his jerseys.
Well, it's about
you would never see the Yankees have that, Sal.
Oh, you never say never. Never say never.
You know what? I'm not sure. I mean, you could plaster that New York Presbyterian all over the stadium. I don't care. But you keep that jersey clean.
Yeah, I don't like that sports have come to this, but it is just the evolution of sport. It's where we're at, sadly.
Yeah.
My issue is not the patch on the jersey. It's the size of the patch on the jersey.
It's humongous. I mean, the last time I actually went back and looked, the last time there was a patch of that size, it was the 2009 inaugural season of Citi Field, and it was huge.
By the way, you might be able to, if you were to take that patch and put it over the other sleeve where the Mets symbol is, it might be bigger and cover up the entire Mets emblem. Like, that's actually bigger than the Mets thing.
Oh, that's even worse.
Right? I mean, think about it. That huge square probably could cover up that Mets logo.
Yeah, most likely. I got to see how this thing looks in person because the picture is a trip.
Are you going tomorrow or later on today, I should say?
No, I wish I could. Oh. But, you know, I'll catch it on TV.
Well, I was going to say, you could probably see it from wherever you're sitting.
Yeah. And then just one other thing, you know, with the home opener today. I don't have an ounce of excitement, and I'm sad about it because it's like a holiday to me, the home opener. You know, I'll get with my kid, and then we'll watch it, and it's usually this big thing. And I remember back in 2005, the Mets started out 0-5, they came home 1-5, and it was just brutal. But you know what? They had Pedro to come home to, Carlos Beltran to come home to. Something to cheer for. These guys we're cheering for the same group. I mean,
well, you get Alvarez is going to be up this weekend. He may not be in the lineup today, but Alvarez will be there. And there's guys to cheer for. I mean, look, I get that you're upset coming off the, and thank you for the call, Steven. I get that you're upset coming off the sweep at the hands of the Brewers. It was ugly. But remember, this is a club that did win 101 games last year. They're not bad. They've had a lot of bad luck to start this year, but they're not bad. The number one thing that has to happen is they need to get Scherzer going and they need to get Verlander healthy. That's the number one thing. Those two guys have to pitch well at the top of that rotation. Everything else will fall into place. They'll patch the rest of the rotation together if need be. The lineup will score some runs. They'll figure it out, whether it's with guys from the minors, whether it's going out and getting somebody eventually. They'll score enough runs. The bullpen will be up and down until hopefully they make an acquisition or two at the trade deadline. The number one thing, they need Scherzer and Verlander to do what they're expected to do. Without that, they have no shot.
We're known for being polite, so we give you a chance to talk, too. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
It's Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Whatever's on your mind on this Friday morning. Mets will open Citi Field for the season later on this afternoon. Yankees be back in action in Baltimore later on, 3 o'clock. The Yankees get underway there. Clark Schmidt will be on the mound for the Yanks in Baltimore. Tyler McGill gets the start, the home opener for the Mets, in place of course, Justin Verlander and the rotation. And McGill's going to have to be good like he was last year. It was a big reason why the Mets had early season success prior to him going down. Remember, he filled in for DeGrom, but he was very good before he went down. He was a big reason for their early season success. So was their pitching in general. I mean, it was their starting rotation, and that's the problem right now. I know people could point to the offense and looking at the ineptitude of that at times, and it's a concern, but a mild concern. I really do think they'll score enough runs, or at least do what was expected of them. The starters right now look like the Mets are going to have a tough time piecing things together until Verlander comes back or until Scherzer figures that out, and they need both of those to happen in a hurry. Artie is calling from Atlanta. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Hey, I got a Yankee point, but if I had to judge TV on what I watch the most, I could sit there and watch the Forensic Files for like 10 hours straight. So it's definitely not my favorite show, but it's like one of those things I just watch. But Better Call Saul. I mean, I was telling my producer,
please.
Have you watched The Offer yet?
I have not watched The Offer. Is that new?
Yeah, you're gonna love it, man. It's great. It's about the whole. It's probably 12 episodes or 10 episodes. It's the whole thing behind the making of The Godfather. It basically centers around the guy that produced The Godfather, and it's worth the watch. And it ties in all the modern day things that are going on with the Columbo family and everything.
It's a documentary.
No, it's not a doc. It's a regular series, but it's factual. It's all factual, and it's basically, it goes into the making of The Godfather, and it goes into the Colombo family and the Italian American club, how they didn't.
Where's it streaming? Well, where can I watch it?
I found it on Prime. I found it on Prime.
But we're out of control with this stuff already. Prime, Hulu, Disney, Netflix, HBO, Showtime. I don't know where to find this stuff. It's all over the place. Who's got it all? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, but maybe because now I've been living down here 13, 14 years, and I don't have the daily chatter of the Yankees every year. And I think things have slowed down to me. I'm still a diehard fan, still watch them 24/7. And hell, I listen to you every morning. I get to work early, and your show is like, it's the one thing that keeps me tied to the Northeast.
Thank you.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. It's such a great show. But
I'm big in Atlanta. They love me in Atlanta.
Yeah, I know all that. Well, now that went down, I was the guy that called you a few years ago. I called you last year, and I said when it was under your skin, but when all the chatter was going on, I said, look, I've been down here 13 years, and once Georgia starts its first practice, forget about it. It's all over. That's all they're thinking
right.
About
exactly. They don't even care about the Braves. Those frauds. Yeah. See, and that's why the baseball gods, I can't stand the baseball gods, Artie. I care about it. We here in New York, we care about the NL East. We care about the Mets and the Yankees. They don't even care about the Braves down there, and they get to win the division all the time. I can't stand the baseball gods.
Sal, if you ever get a chance to come down here on a Friday night, go to a high school football game, and you will realize why no high school team in your area will ever win anything. You know what I mean? It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But I do have a Yankee point. My Yankee point is, and once again, I go maybe because I've been down here so long. I'm almost like I'm watching it from a recliner and just saying, just get me to the playoffs and get me to the World Series. I feel like the Yankee talk is a definition of insanity, having a great regular season and watching us fail in the playoffs. And that's all I can relate it to.
It is weird, Artie, and thank you for taking the time to call, and we appreciate you listening. It can be frustrating at times, but it's odd where you have a team that's so good, like the Yankees, so consistently good every year in the regular season. To where, and now, by the way, in the sport overall, after last year in the Phillies' run in the postseason, the regular season has become devalued. The importance of the regular season has diminished. There's no question about it. I know you want to get a bye, and you know you want to win your division, you want to get a bye, sure. But the importance of the regular season overall has diminished. And as long as you get in the playoffs, you're good to go. With the Yankees, it's like a foregone conclusion that they're going to be in. Now, will they win the division? Who knows? Will they get a bye? Who knows? So those are things we look forward to. And, of course, individual performances. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the Yankee storyline, it's always the same thing going into a year. Okay, great. We know what they're going to do in the regular season because even in a bad year, they win 95 games. So we know they're going to be in the postseason. So then what? It's about the postseason. Always is with the Yankees. The Mets are trying to get to that level. But to get to that level, they actually have to make the postseason in consecutive years. Or maybe, dare I say, for the first time in franchise history, 3 years in a row? Like, is that possible? Joe is calling from the Bronx. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Sal. Before I get to the baseball things, I want to tell you something, Sal. I went to a great deli here in the Bronx on Williamsburg Road. Veal and peppers, Sal. Veal and peppers.
Veal and peppers?
Veal and peppers. Delicious. Great, great deli here. It's an Italian deli. One of the few last ones that's left. But
that's the name of the deli? Or that's the sandwich that you got?
No, that's the sandwich I got. And it's GNR Deli. I'm not giving them a plug. I mean, it's not,
oh, you just did. It's okay.
They make a good sandwich, so.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I'm not really in a Bronx that often. Maybe on the way to my one Yankee game this year, I'll stop there. But I don't do the veal. I mean, I'm not a big veal guy.
You know what, Sal? I'm not either. But with that, it looks so good. They have it in, like, one of those steam trays. It was really good.
Okay. All right. Works for me.
But, Sal, I tell you, you know, like I said, I'm happy my son's back. I told you from Kuwait. The last time I talked to you, Sal, you know it's weird. I'm a National League fan, and you know who I'm rooting for though this year, the Baltimore Orioles. I really have a great feeling about. I love that they great scouting, that they brought up these young guys, and they're all good. I mean, why don't we have that? What's going on?
Well, you got to give the Mets time to get their organization functioning at a high level, meaning at the from the ground up, right? The lower levels, the drafting, the development of these players. They're trying to do that. Like, all those things are put in place. I know Billy Epler is going to be, you know, he's a hands-on guy that is going to be down traveling around to watch the minor leagues. He's not just going to be up with the big club. So the effort is going in to all of that. You're not going to see it pay dividends until maybe 2-3 years, maybe longer down the road. It takes a while.
So, you know, it's funny though, as a Met fan, and I don't hate the Yankees, but I love the story of that upstart that they're doing. They're an exciting club. That catch is awesome. They got a Gunnar Henderson. They got another.
Yeah, they got some young, exciting players.
Absolutely. Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you, Joe. We appreciate you checking in, as always. They have some exciting players. You a veal guy, Marco? Veal and peppers?
No, not really. I had a veal parm for the first time in God, forever.
See, why not just go chicken?
I just didn't feel like having chicken that night. It was whatever, 2 weeks ago. And I was like, let me try the veal. And it wasn't bad, but I was thinking to myself, I should have just had the chicken.
Like, if I had a rank, and we're not going to do this, we're ranking shows and now parms. but for me, like, I would go chicken, meatball, shrimp before I go veal.
I'm not doing the meatball. Shrimp, yes.
And no meatball?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Like, at all?
No, I like meatball. Meatball parm from a place? No. Something about meatballs from any restaurant. I've never had one that was really good.
Yeah, my mom's meatballs. I like having a homemade better.
Yeah, they're just better. They taste better. They're juicier. They're not like everything you get somewhere. It's like lead. As soon as you bite into it, boom.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Never mind a whole sandwich of that.
We used to have veal. Do you celebrate Easter? Like, are you big into Easer?
I mean, I can't say I'm big into Easter.
No, I get you. What do you guys serve? What do you eat?
I think it's lamb and ham and turkey. I say think because this is the first one I've been going to in a long time.
You're going to? Well, I usually work on Easter.
I always work on Easter.
Really?
This is the first year of holidays that I'm not having to work, Sal. Yeah, this is a brand new experience for Blake.
I guess.
I'm reintroducing to myself to all kinds of people.
Are you going to the in-laws? Or what
I'm
are
going
we
to my in-laws because I went to my mom's on Sunday for Palm Sunday.
Right.
So it was a way to be able to
So now this is an in-laws trip.
Yeah, so I don't know what they serve. I've never been there for Easter.
How long in before you regret not working?
About 30 seconds after my wife told me that we were going, whenever that was, a few weeks ago.
Right. Oh, as a matter of fact, David just asked me to pick up a shift on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. Aren't you full-time and get holidays off? No, they wanted me to get... confirming plans. We're going to your parents' house, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay, I got to work.
As soon as I heard, it's a good way to split it. We can go to your mom's on Palm Sunday, and we can go to my parents' on Easter. And I was like, oh, man, these are the days that I wish I just went to work.
Sorry, no can do. I got to work. Tell them I said hello.
We're bringing both kids, and then my nieces and nephews are there, too. Oh, jeez.
We used to have veal on Easter. That was a thing. And I don't know if we still have it or not. I don't even pay attention to it, whatever. Yeah, I don't know why. I thought
lamb was the big thing on Easter. Isn't that lamb in the...
I don't know.
Am I making stuff up? Like, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Isn't veal... Oh, no, veal is not lamb. Veal is a calf, baby calf, right?
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention to it. I just show up and eat whatever's there generally. But it's either we have like chicken collards and veal. Yeah, because my mom would always, Sal, you don't like the veal? Okay, we'll make some chicken collards, whatever.
Look at you pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've been spoiled my whole life. What can I tell you? This year we're actually going to my cousin's house, so I'm not 100% sure what's there. But one time I didn't have a good experience with veal. And I just never went back to it.
No, I like it. I mean, when we were, I remember being a kid, I remember my mom used to make the veal cutlets every once in a while. It wasn't all the time, but it was a decent amount. Price must have went up at some point because we went to chicken by the time, I was like 10 years old. And I feel like I didn't have veal again for another 15 years.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's a good change of pace. I don't desire veal all that often, if you will.
Yeah, we just had a veal parm the other day.
Again, I just didn't want chicken, but I felt like having the parm because the only thing that this place was really good at is their sauce. So I was like, I got to have something with the sauce because it's the only thing that's really good here. And I didn't feel like chicken. I was like, what the hell? Let me try the veal.
I have opened my palate to many different things. Now, I used to just be standard. Like, look, I eat fast food, whatever, or whatever my mom cooked. That was basically it. Would not want to venture out at all. But as I've matured and evolved as a human being, I've opened my palate quite a bit to where I'm open to trying different things. However, if I do go out, the rare instance I go out to an Italian place, I have a hard time getting anything other than chicken parm. Like, I'll like trying the chicken parm at different places because it is different. Some places it's great, some places, but like, I'm not going to really veer off it because I don't do it often enough. And I feel like that's the one dish that I get that I might like. Like, I'm not doing the pasta stuff doesn't do it for
me. No, not really the pasta stuff, but I'll try other dinners. The chicken parm or the veal parm, that's when I order out and I'm eating at home. Mm. I wouldn't actually go to a restaurant and get
What would you get?
I don't know. I got to take a look at the menu, see what the specials
are. What do you mean what's there? It's an Italian menu. What are you getting?
I know. I like to look at the fish. Let me see what's going on with
really?
The fish.
Really? Yeah. Big fish guy.
Yeah, I like the fish.
Like, not shrimp parm, just regular fish.
Yeah. No, regular shrimp. Let's see what the tilapia looks like. Let's see what we got, what kind of sauce. Because I also have, I'm a pain in the ass. You wouldn't think it by my girth, but I really can't digest water. So I got to look at really what's going on and everything.
What do you mean you can't digest water?
I can't digest anything, man. My stomach is shot. So I need to know what's going on and everything. If it's got, peppers or if it's got something that's got acidic or whatever, I can't do it. So I try to look to see what's going to be uncomfortable, but not to the point of death by the end of the night. So I have to limit my options.
Yeah, and then I wonder why I was so fat as a kid, and I was as a kid, and then as I got older, I was 225 pounds at one point. Since then I've lost weight and gotten into shape, but I used to just
225, you poor bastard.
I was huge. Well, I mean, I'm 5'11", really 5'10", but 5'11", on a good day. Anyway, what? That's, 225 is pretty big. 230?
You know what? Sign me up.
What are you?
I'm pushing like 270 here, Sal. Sign me up.
What should you be? How tall are you?
5'11 to 6 feet. What should I be? 185 pounds is what I should be. What I also should be is probably dead from carrying this weight around.
That is true. Come on. Get in shape, Marco. Let's go.
Yeah, thank you. I'm down to 3.5 hours of sleep a day. Where do you want to put this workout in?
Yeah, I know. Put down the veal parm, will you? I'm down,
once a week. I'm eating arugula salad in my closet over here, and I'm 270 pounds. What the hell you want from me?
What time do you have your last meal? Like, on this schedule, it's very difficult to get adjusted to.
This is the worst part of my diet. I eat one meal a day. It's
what?
Here at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock at night is
roughly,
your only meal?
Right before the 9 o'clock update or right after.
And what are you eating?
Usually, about 4 to 5 times a week, arugula salad.
And
with some
only...
fresh mozzarella, some tomatoes, and I made chicken cutlets tonight, so I chopped up a chicken cutlet in there.
Okay, and then you don't go home and eat anything?
No.
There's no way. What are you drinking? Soda?
No, I don't drink any soda. The only thing that I drink is coffee and water.
So how are you not losing weight?
You tell me. I don't know.
If you eat one meal a day, you know, when I first lost my first like 30 pounds or 20, at least 20, was I just stopped drinking anything but water. No juice, no soda, boom, done. 20 pounds off, just like
that.
Yeah,
again, I stopped soda years ago. Everybody said that, like nothing came off. I drink way too much coffee because it's the only thing that I run on. And water. I literally don't drink anything else. It's not like, I don't drink. Like, I don't have alcohol. I don't drink. I don't have soda. I don't have juice.
If I go open those drawers, there's no candy bars or anything like that in there? No bags of chips?
No.
Nothing?
You'd be surprised. I would imagine it's probably because my metabolism is at zero. Because I don't put anything in it, so I'm not burning anything off.
Chips are my weakness. That's the one thing.
I'll have it. You put it in front of me, I'm going to have it.
Right.
But do I go look for
it? No. Like, are you sugar guy or like salt? Right? Isn't it like
both.
Salt?
Okay. No.
I always prefer the chips. Like, and the sugar, whatever.
Depends. Yeah. A cookie or a chip, it depends on what you're in the mood for.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to turn down either, but I'm not going to go look for it. Again, I know this always sounds like, oh, come on, every fat guy says the same thing. Like, seriously, you could walk with me for 24 hours if you want. You're going to be bored out of your skull,
right.
And you're going to look at it and you go, really, dude, like, that's all you're...
24, the Marco Belletti story.
Well, at least got my name right.
No,
we've been working there for a while now.
Got ahead of myself there. Marco Belletti story, the 24.
That's going to be a boring-ass show.
No, I want to follow you around.
A lot of arugula, though.
Yeah.
A lot of arugula.
I love arugula.
That's the only
salad
I really
like. But there's no way you're eating one meal a day...
Dude.
And not losing any weight. There's just no way.
Again, I go home, I take my 45-minute nap, I get up with the kids, with the coffee, take them, then when I get a chance to go to sleep, I go to sleep. I'm not...
I don't believe you.
Come hang.
I don't believe you.
I'm going to come to the crap shack that is the Bloody
I'm
House,
doing
and
the,
you can come see it. You can take care of my kids while you're there.
What, are you kidding me? Barely take care of my own.
We're known for being polite, so we give you a chance to talk, too. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Kind of back on the fan, 877-337-6666. Whatever's on your mind on this Friday morning. Mets will open Citi Field for the season later on this afternoon. Yankees be back in action in Baltimore later on, 3 o'clock. The Yankees get underway there. Clark Schmidt will be on the mound for the Yanks in Baltimore. Tylor McGill gets the start, the home opener for the Mets, in place of course, Justin Verlander. And the rotation, and McGill's going to have to be good like he was last year. It was a big reason why the Mets had early season success prior to him going down. Remember, he filled in for DeGrom, but he was very good before he went down. He was a big reason for their early season success. So was their pitching in general. I mean, it was their starting rotation, and that's the problem right now. I know people could point to the offense and looking at the ineptitude of that at times, and it's a concern, but a mild concern. I really do think they'll score enough runs, or at least do what was expected of them. The starters right now look like the Mets are going to have a tough time piecing things together until Verlander comes back or until Scherzer figures that out, and they need both of those to happen in a hurry. Artie is calling from Atlanta. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Hey, I got a Yankee point, but if I had to judge TV on what I watch the most, I could sit there and watch the Forensic Files for like 10 hours straight. So it's definitely not my favorite show, but it's like one of those things I just watch. But Better Call Saul, I mean, I was telling my producer,
please.
Have you watched The Offer yet?
I have not watched The Offer. Is that new?
Yeah, you're gonna love it, man. It's great. It's about the whole. It's probably 12 episodes or 10 episodes. It's the whole It's the whole thing behind the making of The Godfather. It basically centers around the guy that produced The Godfather. And it's worth the watch. And it ties in all the modern day things that are going on with the Columbo family and everything. Well,
so wait, it's a documentary?
No, it's not a doc. It's not a doc. It's a regular series, but it's factual. It's all factual. And it's basically, it goes into the making of The Godfather. And, you know, it goes into the Columbo family and the Italian American club, how they didn't.
Where is it streaming?
Today.
Well, where can I watch it?
I found it on Prime. Found it on Prime. But
you know what I mean? We're out of control with this stuff already. Prime, Hulu, Disney, Netflix, HBO, Showtime. I don't know where to find this stuff. It's all over the place. Who's got it all? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, maybe because now I've been living down here 13, 14 years, and I don't have the daily chatter of the Yankees every year. And yeah, I think things have slowed down on me. I'm still a diehard fan, still watch them 24/7. And hell, I listen to you every morning. You know, I get to work early, and your show is like it's the one thing that keeps me tied to the Northeast.
Thank you.
But yeah, without a doubt, man, it's a great show. But
you know, I'm big in Atlanta. They love me in Atlanta.
Yeah, I know all that. Well, now that went down, I was the guy that called you a few years ago. I called you last year, and I said when it was under, not that it was ever under your skin, but when all the chatter was going on, I said, look, I've been down here 13 years, and once Georgia starts its first practice, forget about it. It's all over. That's all they're thinking
right.
about.
Right, exactly. They don't even care about the Braves, those frauds. Yeah. See, and that's why the baseball gods, I can't stand the baseball gods, Artie. I care about it. We here in New York, we care about the NL East. We care about the Mets and the Yankees. They don't even care about the Braves down there, and they get to win the division all the time. I can't stand the baseball gods.
Sal, if you ever get a chance to come down here on a Friday night, go to a high school football game, and you will realize why no high school team in your area will ever win anything. You know what I mean? It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But I do have a Yankee point. My Yankee point is, and once again, I go maybe because I've been down here so long. You know, look, I'm almost like I'm watching it from a recliner and just saying, you know, just get me to the playoffs and get me to the World Series. I feel like the Yankee talk is a definition of insanity, you know, having a great regular season and watching us fail in the playoffs. And and that's all I can relate it to.
It is weird, Artie, and thank you for taking the time to call, and we appreciate you listening. It can be frustrating at times, but it's odd where you have a team that's so good, like the Yankees, so consistently good every year in the regular season. To where, and now, by the way, in the sport overall, I mean, after last year and the Phillies run in the postseason, the regular season has become devalued. The importance of the regular season has diminished. There's no question about it. I know you want to get a bye, and, you know, you want to win your division, you want to get a bye, sure. But the importance of the regular season overall has diminished. And as long as you get in the playoffs, you're good to go. With the Yankees, it's like a foregone conclusion that they're going to be in. Now, will they win the division? Who knows? Will they get a bye? Who knows? So those are things we look forward to. And, of course, individual performances. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the Yankee storyline, it's always the same thing going into a year. Okay, great. We know what they're going to do in the regular season because even in a bad year, they win 95 games. So we know they're going to be in the postseason. So then what? It's about the postseason. Always is with the Yankees. The Mets are trying to get to that level, but to get to that level, they actually have to make the postseason in consecutive years. Or maybe, dare I say, for the first time in franchise history, 3 years in a row? Like, is that possible? Joe is calling from the Bronx. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Sal. Before I get to the baseball things, I want to tell you... from the South, I went to a great deli here in the Bronx on Williamsburg Road. Veal and peppers, Sal. Veal and peppers.
Veal and peppers?
Veal and peppers. Delicious. Great, great deli here. It's an Italian deli. One of the few last ones that's left. But
that's the name of the deli? Or that's the sandwich that you got?
No, that's the sandwich I got. And it's GNR Deli. I'm not giving them a plug. I mean,
Did. It's okay.
They make a good sandwich, so.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I'm not really in a Bronx that often. Maybe on the way to my one Yankee game this year, I'll stop there. But I don't do the veal. I mean, I'm not a big veal guy.
You know what? Sal, I'm not either, but with that, it looks so good. They have it in, like, one of those steam trays. It was really good.
Okay, all right. Works for me.
But, Sal, I tell you, you know, like I said, I'm happy my son's back. I told you from Kuwait the last time I talked to you.
Yeah.
Sal, it's weird. I'm a National League fan. And you know who I'm rooting for, though, this year? The Baltimore Orioles. I really have a great feeling about – I love that they – great scouting, that they brought up these young guys, and they're all good. I mean, why don't we have that? What's going on?
Well, you got to give the Mets time to get their organization functioning at a high level, meaning at the from the ground up, right? The lower levels, the drafting, the development of these players, they're trying to do that. Like, all those things are put in place. I know Billy Epler is going to be, you know, he's a hands-on guy that is going to be down traveling around to watch the minor leagues, not just going to be up with the big club. So the effort is going in to all of that. You're not going to see it pay dividends until maybe 2-3 years, maybe longer down the road. It takes a while.
So, you know, it's funny, though, as a Met fan, and I don't hate the Yankees, but I love the story of that upstart that they're doing. They're an exciting club. That catch is awesome. They got a Gunnar Henderson. They got another.
And they got some young, exciting players.
Absolutely. Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you, Joe. We appreciate you checking in, as always. They have some exciting players. You a veal guy, Marco? Veal and peppers?
No, not really. I had a veal parm for the first time in God, forever.
Why not just go chicken?
I just didn't feel like having chicken that night. It was whatever 2 weeks ago, and I was like, let me try the veal, and it wasn't bad. But I was thinking to myself, I should have just had the chicken.
Like if I had a rank, and we're not going to do this. We're ranking shows and now parms. but for me, like I would go chicken, meatball, shrimp before I go veal.
I'm not doing the meatball. Shrimp, yes.
And no then, meatball?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Like at all?
No, I like meatball. Meatball parm from a place? No. Something about meatballs from any restaurant, I've never had one that was really good.
Yeah, my mom's meatballs, I like having a homemade better.
Yeah, they're just better. They taste better. They're juicier. They're not like everything you get somewhere, it's like lead. As soon as you bite into it, boom.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Never mind a whole sandwich of that.
We used to have veal. Do you celebrate Easter? Like, are you big into Easter?
I mean, I can't say I'm big into Easter.
No, I get you. What do you guys serve? What do you eat?
I think it's lamb and ham and turkey. I say think because this is the first one I'm going to in a long time.
You're going to? Well, I usually work on Easter?
I always work on Easter.
Really?
This is the first year of holidays that I'm not having to work, Sal. Yeah, this is a brand new experience for Blake.
I guess.
I'm reintroducing myself to all kinds of people.
Are you going to the in-laws?
I'm going to my in-laws because I went to my mom's on Sunday for Palm Sunday.
Right.
So it was a way to be able
to
split.
This is an in-laws trip.
Yeah, so I don't know what they serve. I've never been there for Easter.
How long in before you regret not working?
About 30 seconds after my wife told me that we were going, whenever that was, a few weeks ago.
Right. Oh, as a matter of fact, David just asked me to pick up a shift on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. Aren't you full-time and get holidays off? No, they wanted me to get... Just confirming plans. We're going to your parents' house, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay, I got to work. I'm sorry.
As soon as I heard, it's a good way to split it. We can go to your mom's on Palm Sunday, and we can go to my parents on Easter. And I was like, oh, man, these are the days that I wish I just went to work.
Sorry, no can do. I got to work. Tell them I said hello.
We're bringing both kids, and then my nieces and nephews are there, too. Oh, jeez.
We used to have veal on Easter. That was a thing. And I don't know if we still have it or not. I don't even pay attention to it, whatever. Yeah, I don't know why. I thought
lamb was the big thing on Easter. Isn't that lamb in the...
I don't know.
Am I making stuff up? Like, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Isn't veal... Oh, no, veal is not lamb. Veal's a calf, baby calf, right?
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention to it. I just show up and eat whatever's there generally. But it's either we have like chicken collards and veal. Yeah, because my mom would always, Sal, you don't like the veal? Okay, we'll make some chicken collards, whatever.
Look at you pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've been spoiled my whole life. What can I tell you? This year, we're actually going to my cousin's house, so I'm not 100% sure what's there. But one time I didn't have a good experience with veal. And I just never went back to it.
No, I like it. I mean, when we were, I remember being a kid, I remember my mom used to make the veal cutlets every once in a while. It wasn't all the time, but it was a decent amount. Price must have went up at some point because we went to chicken by the time, you know, I was like 10 years old. And I feel like I didn't have veal again for another 15 years.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's a good change of pace. I don't desire veal. all that often, if you will.
Yeah, you just had a veal parm the other day.
Again, I just didn't want chicken, but I felt like having the parm because the only thing that this place was really good at is their sauce. So I was like, I got to have something with the sauce because it's the only thing that's really good here. And I didn't feel like chicken. I was like, oh, what the hell? Let me try the veal.
I have opened my palate to many different things. Now, I used to just be standard. Like, look, I eat fast food, whatever, or whatever my mom cooked. That was basically it. Would not want to venture out at all. But as I've matured and evolved as a human being, I've opened my palate quite a bit to where I'm open to trying different things. However, if I do go out, the rare instance I go out to an Italian place, I have a hard time getting anything other than chicken parm. Like, I'll like trying the chicken parm at different places because it is different. Some places it's great, some places, but like, I'm not going to really veer off it because I don't do it often enough. And I feel like that's the one dish that I get that I might like. Like, I'm not doing the pasta stuff, doesn't do it for
me. No, not really the pasta stuff, but I'll try other dinners. The chicken parm or the veal parm, that's when I order out and I'm eating at home. Mm. I wouldn't actually go to a restaurant and get.
What would you get?
I don't know. I got to take a look at the menu, see what the specials
are. What do you mean what's there? It's an Italian menu. What are you getting?
I know. I like to look at the fish. Let me see what's going on with
really?
The fish.
Really? Yeah. Big fish guy.
Yeah, I like the fish.
Like, not shrimp parm, just regular fish.
Yeah. No, regular shrimp. Let's see what the tilapia looks like. Let's see what we got, what kind of sauce. Because I also have, I'm a pain in the ass. You wouldn't think it by my girth, but I really can't digest water. So I got to look at really what's going on and everything.
What do you mean you can't digest water?
I can't digest anything, man. My stomach is shot. So I need to know what's going on and everything. If it's got, you know, peppers or if it's got something that's got acidic or whatever, I can't.
Oh, wow.
I can't do it. So I try to look to see what's going to be uncomfortable, but not to the point of death by the end of the night. So I have to limit my options.
Yeah, and then I wonder why I was so fat as a kid, and I was as a kid, and then I, you know, as I got older, I was, you know, 225 pounds at one point. You know, since then I've lost weight and gotten into shape, but I used to just
225, you poor bastard.
I was huge. Well, I mean, I'm 5'11", really 5'10", but 5'11", on a good day. Anyway, that's, I mean, 225 is pretty big, 230.
You know what? Sign me up.
What are you?
I'm pushing like 270 here, Sal. Sign me up.
What should you be? How tall are you?
5'11 to 6 feet. What should I be? 185 pounds is what I should be. What I also should be is probably dead from carrying this weight around.
That is true. Come on. Get in shape, Marco. Let's go.
Yeah, thank you. I'm down to 3.5 hours of sleep a day. Where do you want to put this workout in?
Yeah, I know. Put down the veal parm, will you? You know, I'm down,
once,
by the
once
way.
A week. I'm eating arugula salad in my closet over here, right, and I'm 270 pounds. What the hell you want
from
me?
What time do you have your last meal? Like, on this schedule, it's very difficult to get adjusted to.
This is the worst part of my diet. I eat one meal a day. It's here at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock at night is
roughly
your only meal?
Right before the 9 o'clock update or right after.
And what are you eating?
Usually about 4 to 5 times a week, arugula salad.
And
with some fresh mozzarella, some tomatoes, and I made chicken cutlets tonight, so I chopped up a chicken cutlet in there.
Okay. And then you don't go home and eat anything?
No.
There's no way. What are you drinking? Soda?
No, I don't drink any soda. The only thing that I drink is coffee and water.
So how are you not losing weight?
You tell me. I don't know.
If you eat one meal a day, you know, when I first lost my first like 30 pounds or 20, at least 20, was I just stopped drinking anything but water. No juice, no soda, boom, done. 20 pounds off, just like that.
Yeah, again, I stopped soda years ago. Everybody said that, like nothing came off. I drink way too much coffee because it's the only thing that I run on. And water. I literally don't drink anything else. It's not like, I don't drink, like I don't have alcohol, I don't drink. I don't have soda. I don't have juice.
If I go open those drawers, there's no candy bars or anything like that in there? No bags of chips?
No.
Nothing?
You'd be surprised. I would imagine it's probably because my metabolism is at zero because I don't put anything in it, so I'm not burning anything off.
Chips are my weakness. That's the one thing.
I'll have it. You put it in front of me, I'm going to have it.
Right.
But do I go look for it?
Like,
no.
Like, are you sugar guy or like salt? Right? Isn't it like
both.
Salt?
Okay. No.
I always prefer the chips. Like, and the sugar, whatever.
Depends. Yeah. A cookie or a chip, it depends on what you're in the mood for.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to turn down either, but I'm not going to go look for it. Again, I know this always sounds like, oh, come on, every fat guy says the same thing. Like, seriously, you can walk with me for 24 hours if you want. You're going to be bored out of your skull,
right,
and you're going to look at it and you go, really, dude, like, that's all you're...
24, the Marco Belletti story.
Well, at least got my name right.
No, jeez,
we've been working there for a while now.
Got ahead of myself there. Marco Belletti story. The 24.
That's going to be a boring ass show.
No, I want to follow you.
A lot of arugula, though.
Yeah.
A lot of arugula.
I love arugula.
That's the only
salad
I really
like. But there's no way you're eating one meal a day
dude.
And not losing any weight. There's just no way.
Again, I go home, I take my 45-minute nap, I get up with the kids, with the coffee, take them, then it's ever when I get a chance to go to sleep, I go to sleep. I'm not.
I don't believe you.
Come hang.
I don't believe you.
I'm going to come to the crap shack that is the Bloody House, and you can come see it. You can take care of my kids while you're there.
What are you kidding me? Barely take care of my own.